little nervous, Matt. I'm a little nervous.
See, I'm surrounded by a lot. We got the move going.
Oh. So
kind of as I was picking, as I was looking, it's like, oh, that looks good. That looks good. So I got like 20 books.
You got 20 books tonight, huh?
In my vicinity. Some to nominate, some to talk about.
I was struggling to get to three. I'm going to tell you right now. Struggling to get to three.
We'll see how it goes.
I mean, to be honest, I have a wasp issue. And second year in a row, I think they're wasps. Could be yellow jackets. Could be they're very similar bees.
Oh, you mean the insect, not white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Hey, you know what's interesting about that?
Yeah, there's
Christopher Hitchens essay.
Okay,
and he went to a NASCAR rally. And he was kind of musing on how the stereotypical redneck type people at the NASCAR rally are technically WASPs.
Oh, yeah.
The acronym. And he's like, but your typical NASCAR crowd, it would be, even though it's technically accurate, it would be a misnomer to call them WASPs because that's not what people mean.
Yeah.
They mean kind of East Coast elite type WASP. Somebody like William F. Buckley Jr. That's what Hitchens. But the irony with William F. Buckley Jr. is he's Irish Catholic. So he's really just the W.
So you're saying nothing makes sense?
Well, just how sometimes he was talking about how the sometimes people technically hit every point of something, but Bubba in a Stars and Bars t-shirt and a Dukes of Hazzard cap isn't a wasp, even though technically he's white, Anglo-Saxon, and Protestant.
Can we get back to my wasp issue?
Yeah.
Okay, it's in the eaves of my house, all right? It's in the top one-story house with an attic. That's where I'm recording right tonight. Can't have the windows open tonight, Matt, so it might be a little hot. Got the fan blowing. If you hear that, that's a necessity tonight. Night one, wife tells me, text message over the day, hey, we got a wasp issue again. I set out traps early in the spring. I thought I caught the queen. Have not caught the queen. They built a sweet, sweet nest right above my head right now. Okay, night one. Try to do the humane thing, Matt. You know what the humane thing is? Take a guess.
Put them outside?
No, they're already outside. They're outside. They're over the front door.
Humane. Put them in your neighbor's yard?
No. Bought a spray bottle, filled it up with water and soap. Thought that would work. I was a little, my heart was pounding. I'm not going to lie. Heart was pounding. They were from this little window in the attic. I can look out and spray them. They're about 5 feet away. Pretty close, all right? They're all kind of moving around. Spooky, spooky stuff. I might have killed one with the water and soap. I'm not going to lie. I don't think
so. That's not humane, though.
Well, I guess when I say humane, I mean humane to me. Family, the dogs, that kind of stuff.
Oh, so you're still trying to kill the wasp.
Still trying to kill them. Yeah. Is that bad? Is that bad to admit to killing wasps?
No.
Don't kill bees because bees are pollinators.
Well, randomly go kill them in nature, but if they're in your home.
I think my wife might be allergic.
You can't mess with that.
I can't mess with that. Night two. While you're getting 20 books to nominate, night two. Guy attack them at dusk. Guy attack them when they're sleeping. I buy eco-friendly wasp killer. Okay. Now, bottle's a little confusing. It says you can use around pets and plants, but then it says if it gets on your skin, that's not good. If it gets in your eye, wash your eyes for 15 minutes. Which I've always thought is a very traumatic thing. Like washing your eyes for 15 minutes. Always felt like I don't have a chemistry, you know. Set up here at the
house. I can't sit there and wash my eyes for 15 minutes.
How do you know you're doing it right?
Probably puts
in the poison into your brain.
Yeah,
probably
just sinks in. So I suspect you just bought more expensive normal wasp spray.
No, it was cheaper actually.
Smaller
bottle though, so I'm not getting more punch for the pound there. I don't know if I'm happy to report. I think I killed about like 10 of them.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. And I think I confused a bunch. So that's where we're at. That's where, you know,
okay.
Early August, the wasp issue that I have we'll see. It took me until the first frost of last year for me to get rid of the ground yellow jackets. So I'm not very good at this.
Okay. I think you just need a spray, no hose bars. You got to stop holding back and just...
God, those sprays, man. I don't know. They give me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know.
How many sprays do you got in your house?
We actually haven't had... We had a wasp thing last year. And with the kid running around, I didn't want to take any chances. And so I just made sure the dog and the kid were inside overnight. And before bed, I just sprayed the whole shed.
Poison stuff? Poison?
Yeah. Yeah.
The real strong stuff.
Yeah.
You get stung? Stinged? Stung?
No. No. I'm not allergic. When we were kids, we used to have out in the backyard, there were big old hollow poles, and wasps used to live in there. We lived down in the country, so we had, you know, an old barn, like hollow, rusted out poles where wasps lives. And we used to go get like water guns and old bits of like rope and stuff. And it was kind of like daring each other. How close can you get to squirt like down into the hole? And then you run away.
There we go.
It's kind of fun. I've been stung. It was fun.
That's pretty fun. Anyway, you're making me feel weak.
It's good times. Just have fun with it. Anyway, so you can't open, you're stuck up in your hot attic.
Yeah.
You can't open the windows because you're going to let wasps in.
Yeah.
So you're doing this, it's a real hot box.
I'm dedicated to the craft. Dedicated.
So if you pass out, I'll just go ahead and pick one of my books and I'll win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this week we're doing one of the, nominations, picking books and stuff like that. And I'll be honest, I forgot to bring the water bottle up here. Got this nice little water bottle I've been drinking, trying to keep the fluids going through me. If you remember.
Well, you can go get it.
Over a year ago, you know, the kidney stone.
Mm-hmm. In a year.
You were very kind to me during that time. We didn't have to record 1 week. But I've been drinking the water. Got the wasp issue. I went camping last week.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
I'm not the biggest camper. Not the biggest camper.
Yeah. You seem to go a lot for someone who doesn't care for it.
My wife likes it.
Ah, there you go. So you're... Did you bring a book?
I did bring a book.
What'd you read?
Abnett of Curiosities.
Hey.
Okay. So if you're listening to this is our normal episode. Next week, we're going to record over on our Patreon. We're going to talk about the Cabinet of Curiosities. I just want to say this. The book is very scary. It's creeping me out.
Yeah. It's kind of creepy, isn't it? Yeah.
It is one of the more creepy books I've ever read.
Ever?
There is some real spooky stuff in that book, Matt.
There is. Yeah, I'm almost done too. So, yeah.
Silence of the Lambs type stuff.
It kind of is.
Yeah. It's really good. Really
you
good.
Meet around the fire, so it's dark and you're out in nature.
So, here's the thing. I don't want to get the book too dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I read it one afternoon while people went on a walk. I just said, you know what? Not for me. I'm going to hang out at the campsite.
Thanks.
And I got, 40, 50 pages done.
Good.
Me and the dog that has knee issues, we just hung out and... we're just antisocial, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But, I got some reading done. Do you ever do that? Do you ever just be the weirdo that just goes into the corner and reads while there's people around?
Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Back in the day, I'd have roommates, there'd be a little get-together, and I'd just in the room. I'd, read. Yeah. Yeah.
You were something else when I first... Yeah, I could definitely see that.
I don't want to go anywhere. Let me just.
I could definitely see that. All right. A little catch up.
Yeah.
Did you go anywhere fun this last week, man? Just been
compiling
stacks of books.
No, just moving stuff around. Yeah. All right. Were you going to do the intro?
Do the thing,
and then we'll.
Welcome to There Will Be Books, a podcast about books and wasps. I'm Peter, joined as always by Matt. All right, Matt, intro's out of the way.
Cool.
Do you think I could become a professional radio guy, radio person, podcast, like just the voice right there? That's when I try to become professional. That little
voiceover guy?
Second spot. You know,
I always thought
recording audiobooks would be like a good gig, but it might get maddening when you had to like re-record something for like the 50th time.
I think it'd get boring.
Might get boring too.
And I mentioned this before, just reading so much to the kid, you notice how impressive it is. Because I get tripped up on some of those like kids' books. Because you're thinking, like you're trying to turn the page. There's a lot going on and you forget like who's reading whose dialogue. It's really good. Audiobook narrators is very impressive.
I think they're standing up and they have one of those like musical, you know, where you put the music podium type things.
Yeah. It's still really impressive.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway, you can do it. Look into it.
Do you ever, when you're reading to the kid, do you ever try to be like, I'm going to put a plus performance on here? Do you ever this is going to be good?
Yeah.
This is my time.
Sometimes I pretend I'm an audiobook narrator because I'm reading the same book 10 times in a row. So it's like, I'm going to nail, I do voices. Like, I'm going to go big on the voice.
Do you have a book next to you right now that we can test this out on?
Nah, no. Or normally this is where I read to him, but it's gone. I don't wanna.
What about one of your books that you're gonna nominate?
Oh, no, we won't get into that. We won't get into that.
Okay. I was trying to throw you off.
Suffice it to say, being an audiobook narrator, I think it's a tough job. And you'd be good at it.
I don't think I would be. I can't pronounce that many words. It's a struggle.
That's another thing that
I have a book I'm nominating this week. Yeah. A little, I had to do some practice on, and right now I forgot how to pronounce it.
Just how to pronounce the title
and the author.
Some of those foreign words are kind of French words.
It's
hard to know. Okay.
Spanish though. Argentina.
Borges.
Stop it! You're cheating.
No, is it Borges?
It is. Borges.
Well, name another. I can't name it. Who's another Argentine?
How about I just get this book out of the way so I can say it? Ficciones?
Ficciones?
Ficciones? Stop it.
Ficciones.
You know what you're doing? I know what you're doing right now. You're making me... I'm self-conscious. What? I think we should pick this book. This is a preemptive nomination.
That's a good nomination, actually.
You know why I nominated it?
Because of Brad?
Brad Kelly got it into my brain.
Yeah.
That I'm not always a very smart reader. Now.
Well, me neither. I haven't read Borges either.
Borges?
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at his stuff, and I actually had a question for you. Because his writing is described in many different ways, and it's very hard to like pin down, I guess, exactly what kind of writer he is. And I don't actually think he's magical realism, right? Maybe
I think it's more what's his face, Maria Garcia Marquez. Yeah,
I was thinking about magical realism, right? And my books are really magical realism. I don't think I am open. I don't think I've been fair to books that have magical realism in it. I just think it throws me too much, and I don't like being caught off guard. Maybe when I'm reading a book with like the magical realism aspects to it, I like to be surprised in a book, but maybe that aspect, I was trying to decipher why I don't tend to read those kind of books.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you a question, like, why do you think I don't like that? Because I couldn't find an answer from this.
I don't know. I'm kind of wary of them too. I don't know why.
You're wary of them too.
Maybe I think stuff that gets forced on people in schools kind of pushes people away from them.
We might have a special guest to talk about this here.
All right.
The general of the podcast.
Can you say hello?
He's headbutting the microphone.
Do you like magical realism books? What's your favorite book to read right now? Do you like The Napping House?
Matt's son. These are all
Do you like King Bidgood? You said you want to say hi to Peter. You can say hi. He's putting his face in the microphone. All right.
Where'd you go up to Mama's bed?
Not sure what that was, but I think he sides with us on the Mario.
Oh, wait, no, I never read Maria. What's his name? Garcia Marquez. Gabriel.
Maria.
I'm getting confused with Vargas. Maria Vargas Llosa.
Okay.
So, but no, I don't know. Maybe there's a, I don't know, kind of stodgy and pretentious. Is the reputation? I don't know.
I don't know if I fully agree with this. I had this in my mind. I thought maybe when I was younger, there was a certain type of person, like growing up in kind of the English literary, like in your classes circles, that liked him. Maybe I had a friend that liked him, and I thought that friend was kind of pretentious. So then I was like, I don't know if I want to read that. I think that might have played into it a little bit, but I'm not. Just
the one guy ruined it for you.
One or two guys, really, if I'm being completely honest. And I was like, I don't really like them. Therefore, I don't like their books, which is not the way to go through life, Matt, as you and I know.
Yeah, no, you can't be that judgmental. You got to branch out.
Yeah. So maybe upcoming, I'll just nominate magical realism books.
I nominated Autumn of the Patriarch maybe a year ago, and I think we almost picked it.
I don't remember that.
It might be time to read. I don't think Borges is – he's more – I don't know.
He's more – I think I would enjoy being challenged by him. He talks about time and
– maybe like he's like Italo Calvino or somebody like that.
I think has more complexity.
Experimental. I don't know. Yeah. That's maybe we'll find out.
Sort of the story about, like, is the writer writing a story or is the story written, I don't know, writes itself? One of those, like, teases that I'm not always a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
You ruined one of my nominations, so.
I ruined the Borges?
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. Hey, so it's August.
Yeah.
That means Flashman month. This will shock you.
What is September? I thought Flashman was September.
Flashman's August. Okay. We usually record in September. There's no time limit here.
I was also going to point out that we have not way too many books. We have a lot of books on our TBR.
I was going to ask you to kind of touch base on some of those a bit later. But first, so I know this will surprise you, but I made a mistake.
You referenced this before we started recording. You said, hey, did you see my Instagram post? And I did see this. You bought the wrong book in the series?
Well, no. So I had it in my head that Flashman's Lady was number 4.
Yeah.
And I get going on it, and it says this is the 6th volume, the 6th packet. But chronologically, it jumps back. And so it was weird. I'm a big read them in the order they're written, especially if it's a series and it jumps around chronologically. But even so, chronologically, we kind of messed up because we're on number 4. Flashman's Lady is number 3, just chronologically, but number 6 in the order they're written. So unless
you're wrong.
No.
Oh, maybe you're not.
No.
I think we're on to Flashman at the Charge.
We should be Flashman at the Charge. And I mentioned earlier it was Lady. So have you bought?
No, I haven't.
Okay. You might have Flashman at the Charge. So don't go out and buy it.
I also realized recently I got to get my books in order because I forgot I have certain books I would, if I saw them at a used bookstore, I might buy duplicates of. I was looking through some of my, in the guest bedroom, I have a bookcase, and I was looking through that. And I was like, oh, I have this? Oh, whoa. Okay. That makes me feel good, but it also makes me feel like I should look at this bookcase more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe I should do some reevaluating of the old bookcases there. But Flashman at the Charge.
Flashman at the Charge, not Flashman's Lady. I apologize to everybody.
Apology accepted. So that's August, which we'll get to in September. Fourth Flashman. Flashman's been a very, very rewarding series.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. Do you think other people think about Flashmen?
Some people do.
I think they need to do a reprinting of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. The climate for... Can you imagine a sensitivity reader with Flashman books?
Every time we talk about them, we're like, hey, we got to dance around some stuff here.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, whatever. I mean, we're adults. We can...
Yeah.
I'm just saying they're going through... Sir, you know, updating P.G. Woodhouse because he's too offensive. I don't know what they do with...
So maybe it's good that he's not in the public eye. Is that what you're saying?
Mm.
Let him skate under the radar.
It's good, yeah. Just keep him under the radar. Don't let the Zoomers discover Flashman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have that. Flashman at the charge. That's already picked. I didn't realize. Okay. For some reason, I had September in my mind. But you're right, August. Okay.
Yeah, it's August.
You got 20 books to nominate tonight.
I got, I'll walk you through my process here. Okay. A couple other points of order I wanted to hit first.
Yeah.
Do you have any?
No.
There's
a lot of books to talk about tonight.
I'll roll through them. We won't dwell on them. It'll be fine. I'm not going to keep you up in the attic.
Do you have favorites? Yeah, I'm in this hot room.
Yeah. I have a couple that I'll
forget that.
I'm going to breeze through them and just kind of tell you the categories I was thinking of, and you tell me the handful that hit you, and don't worry.
All right.
But so first of all, I was thinking, like I did long, hard. I have like a dark night of the soul, as the mystics call it. Couldn't sleep. And I was like, I don't think, because you owe me the one more David Foster Wallace essay. And I was thinking about how much you didn't like Host and the way that was formatted. And the essay, the fourth one, the last one, if you didn't like Host, I'm like, boy, this last one isn't going to be fun.
Remember, I might have found something out with him. Brad Kelly said I don't have to read.
Skipping the footnotes. But that's not even that. It's just kind of it's like, man, I want to change essays if you're down with it.
I don't even remember what you told me to read.
Okay, so we could. So anyway, I think it'd be more fun. It's, you know, it's not a big thing, but what's I was pondering it. And if you don't like Host, you know.
I don't like Host.
And, then you're worried about comprehending Borges and whatnot. So I have a couple of essays that I think would be fun to read.
You just said essays. Not essay.
Yeah, and you get to pick one to switch it out. I'll let you pick what to switch it out with, and I'll give you kind of four. There's a historian called Michael Parenti, right? And he's got a book of essays, and one of them is about how he thinks. You know, I think it was William Henry Harris.
Right there. These aren't David Foster Wallace essays?
No. Just four essays. These might show up again in our other bets, right? Yeah.
So I'm done with the
applause. William Henry Harrison is the president who died a week or so after standing out in the heat. And the official story is he ate a bunch of cherries and drank warm milk. Have you heard that?
I have not, no.
Okay. Well, that was the story. But he has a theory about how he was poisoned by arsenic.
Well, is it arsenic in the pits of cherries? Maybe he was
no, veteran. But he didn't eat the pits. And his point is like that's not a real thing. Like
don't eat the pits.
He didn't eat the pits. And people don't die by eating fruit and milk when it's hot. Like it is an interesting essay.
Don't die by eating the pits.
He didn't eat the pits. He was the president of the United States. He didn't go home from a speech and eat a bunch of cherry pits, right?
Sir,
so anyway.
Dewey. Cherry pits.
I love the pits. Anyway.
Today I'm having all just pits.
Yeah. Interesting essay.
What's this essay about? The poisoning of William.
He thinks he was poisoned.
Harrison?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think. Or Zachary Taylor. It may have been Zach. I'm getting them mixed.
Zachary Taylor? No. Zachary Taylor was. I think you're right. Harrison.
Anyway.
Died from like a cold. Like they got cold and died.
Yeah. So anyway, that essay. That could be fun. Be some good content there.
This one?
We could do the Kentucky Derby is decadent and depraved. The Hunter S. Thompson.
Ooh.
His little famous essay with Ian Ralph Steadman with the Kentucky Derby. There is a fascinating New Yorker profile of he's a magician. He's an actor. He's been in some stuff. Guy named Ricky J.
Ricky J.
You recognize him if you Google imaged him. He was in The Prestige and stuff.
Talk to me and I will Google him.
Yeah, he was a stage magician. He collected a bunch of old books on magic and hand tricks and Ledger Germain and all that stuff.
I do recognize this guy.
You recognize that guy? There's a profile of him and one of his legendary tricks. He would take a person out to dinner, he's sitting there talking with them. They pull up the person he's having dinner with pulls up a menu. They pull it down and there's just a huge block of ice sitting right in front of them. And they have no idea how it got there. So somehow Ricky J just manifested a huge block of ice at the dinner table. Like it's just amazing little stuff like that. And I think it's from the 90s, early 2000s, but the New Yorker profile of Ricky J is one of the best like magazine
magical profiles secrets I've ever read. 1993, April
5th. Have you seen? Yeah. That's fascinating. That's right up our alley. I'll make us do it at some point, but we could do, I think one of those three might be profitable, might be fun.
You got me curious about this magician one.
Do you want to switch him out? It's interesting. Make sure you got it pulled up. Make sure it's not behind a paywall.
But I think I clicked on it. Now, if I click on it twice, will I only be able to read it once? Oh, wait a second. It's not. It's a very long essay. I'm not gonna lie. It kind of just ends. I don't know if it is. It might be loading still, Matt. This is good podcast.
Well, we could figure it out. They.
The library might have it. The library might have it.
Yeah, library could have it.
It takes a while to load, if I'm completely honest. Let's pick that one.
Pick that one?
Ricky J's Magical Secrets.
Well, yeah, that'll be the fourth. Okay.
Hi, that's my last thing I have to do.
It's a good profile. You should.
Before I lose my next set of bets.
Yeah.
I gotta win some of these bets.
We'll get into it later, but I think this might be the.
You go golfing with me or something.
I want you to take me golfing.
Okay. I don't like your eagerness to do the. The bet punishment.
It's not a punishment. These are all good essays.
We swapped out essays.
Okay. And when you beat me at golf, or when the Broncos finally beat the Chiefs this year, I expect you to do the same courtesy to me. Like, have them be fun. It's not a punishment. It's just a fun
I'm gonna make that I chose. Pretty serious stuff you're going to have to be reading, Matt. Pretty serious stuff. Yeah. Borges, magical, realism, all that kind of good
random
stuff.
Czech author. World War II.
Wouldn't that be crazy if while you're looking at me through this Zoom call, just like a horde of wasps are just forming outside the window?
I'd let you know if I saw.
And they're just rattling the window. That would be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any more points of order? Anything you want to bring up before we get into...
We're starting up our fantasy football team again.
I realized also when I labeled this, I labeled it September.
Yeah. Well, just edit it. August.
I'm just going to write August. Fantasy football's coming up.
I reactivated the league.
Now, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Are the same people going to be in the league? Because I might have some people that might want to join.
I think there'll be some room.
Okay. Maybe we can talk off air, but I might have some people that.
Yeah. No, we'll invite them. Invite them if you're listening and want to join. Let us know. I'll create another league if the demand's high. But
you have to keep the point, the scoring system.
I'm going to make it even higher. It's going to be the highest score, the highest scoring fantasy football league in North America is the goal. So only one tight end, but the scoring is going to be even higher. So maybe, I reactivated it.
Maybe not more points, but just more points for many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For everything. I mean, safeties. Get
more kicking stuff.
Kicking. I mean, I really want it to be the highest scoring league ever, at least in North America. Michael Bublé might be joining. We'll see.
I don't even want to ask. You know, I don't know why this jogged my memory, but back in the day when we first created our Instagram account, you became friends with Mickey Rourke.
We still follow him, Mickey.
Yeah, Rourke. And sometimes we get Mickey Rourke updates, and I'm like, what is going on? Oh, yeah, we follow Mickey Rourke.
He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, anyway. Michael Bublé is joining our fantasy football game.
Maybe. The offer is out there. I don't know if he'll take us up. He's a big American football guy. I know he's Canadian. Okay. So Michael Bublé, I think your brother. So we got some spaces. Let us know. I'll create another team/league if demand's high enough. It's pretty fun.
Get mad. Sam Ernst better be back. I bet he wants
Sam should be. I'll bug Sam until he comes back. Yes.
Get back in this.
Everybody's welcome. Let me know. Hit us up on the social media or email us.
It's a ridiculous fantasy league, I will say. I had the most fun I've ever had in fantasy league playing. Yeah. So
it's fun. Yeah. So yeah.
Are you ready to pick one of your nominations for?
Yeah, I have one more thing. I'm going to kick it back. I'm going to save it for next time.
Back. It's not September. How many times did I say September? When I said it, maybe I didn't.
It's once August. Or twice. It's fine. It's August. It's August 10th. We're picking an August book.
Maybe
to go along to pair with Flashman.
To pair with Flashman, because usually, anyway, it's hot in this room. It's hot. That's my excuse. So I've already nominated one of my books. Should I just do all my books and then I can let you cook? Yeah. Just let you go.
Yeah.
Let you, my next nomination also from, actually all of my nominations are, directly related to our last week's guest. And this one is directly the one he specifically asked to be nominated. Okay. That is Three Stigmata of Palmer Eldritch.
Yep.
Okay, Dick.
Did you read a little bit about what that's about?
I'll be honest, I didn't.
Okay.
Because it sounded like the less I knew, maybe the better.
Okay. Well, okay.
Are you concerned? Because made it sound like it's kind of difficult.
I want to read it, actually. Okay. I was worried you'd do this. So one of my nominations I had in reserve.
Yeah.
Talked about it with Brad also. It's The Man in High Castle.
Yeah, I think you nominated that one before, haven't you?
Yeah, but I have it here in case we wanted to do Philip K. Dick, because we like to take people's recommendations, right? And I think Brad just happened to have it sitting there.
It's true.
So he said, I haven't read Three Stigmata. He said it's his weirdest one, and I remember saying even weirder than Valis. And he's like, oh yeah. Peter Valis is very weird. I liked it, but I'm trying to protect you, and I'm trying not to sound.
I do remember you saying that. You're like, even weirder than Valis. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, much. And I was like, okay. And you had a look like, that's pretty weird.
Valis is weird.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to say, like,
it would be rude if I didn't bring it up.
You should bring it up. And if you want to do Philip, this is the one that we should start with. Excellent. I think Brad would understand. It is fun. It's like an alternate.
He was still talking.
Hopefully, I think so. So Man in High Castle is like an alternate world. It's a parallel world where
the Germans win.
The Axis powers won World War II. And the East Coast is dominated by the Nazis. The West Coast is the Japanese. And it starts off in the Rocky Mountains, which is kind of like a neutral territory.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I had a hunch you may do that, and I had Man in High Castle ready to throw out there as kind of just a starting point. We could maybe get to Three Stigmata and Valis, but...
I was thinking about maybe nominating some sort of, like, since I was camping, some sort of fishing book, some sort of camping book. Ooh, I'm not going to do that. I think those might be, like, something I would... I don't think you would like those books. I'll be honest with you.
I like certain nature books, actually.
We were talking about the Beats on last week's episode.
Ooh, yeah.
And Brad Calloway was talking about William S. Burroughs, an author. I have two of his books. I read Junkie. I remember thinking, boy, that's a lot of drugs this guy took. And then the other one I don't think I finished, and it's most popular book, most well-known book, is Naked Lunch by William S. Burroughs. I have this very nice yellow edition, now a major motion picture from David Cronenberg. It's there on the bottom there. I don't know a ton about this book. I think it's slightly confusing. I can read some of the blurbs in the back if it piques your interest.
Yeah.
I have Norman Mailer has a blurb on the back, but unfortunately, the college library sticker covers up half of it. So I can only tell you, goes, a book of, I don't know, great beauty, .. Burroughs is the only American novelist living today who may, something, 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 conceivably be possessed by genius.
Hey.
Norman Mailer. How about that? Any interest in that book, man?
Vague interest.
Vague interest. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I struck out here this week.
I like Ficciones, actually.
Ficciones?
And Man in High Castle, but Ficciones. How long is Ficciones?
It's a short story collection. I think it's like under 200 pages.
Okay. That's strong.
Yeah. Become more learned. Okay. Matt, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, like I said, I was just sorting through all my books. There's a bunch on the ground. And I was thinking, okay, do we do kind of like you? I was thinking, oh, I could get books that have been recommended to us. Right. And I found a handful of those. Then I was like, no, I have, there's a couple by authors who have recently died. It's like, oh, we could do, you know, the Martin Amis book, Hilary Mantel. I'm like, okay, those are kind of long. I don't know if Peter'd go for those, but I just kept them out. Then I was like, no, our TBR is already way out of hand. Let's do some short stuff, but let's also do some fill in some gaps.
I like
so
that.
I had some serious stuff that is also kind of short. And then it was also gimmicky. It's also kind of the titles are names. And I was proud of myself going to go with that. And then I found like five other random books like, oh, that'd be good. So I start. So I'm just going to mention them all.
I'm not going to list all these, by the way. I usually list nominated in the, you're just going to have to listen to the end and see what we pick.
Okay, Peter, here's what I want you to do. Go with your gut.
Gut. Okay, my gut.
And if something strikes you, be like, no, not now. Don't want to do it. If something strikes you, put it to the side.
I'm just going to say real quick, we're just going to go real early. I'm going to discard some of them, and I'm going to say, you can't continue.
Yeah, yeah. And then
give me a sentence or two why you want to do this one, and I'll say yay or nay.
Okay. And then pick 3 to 5, and those will be the ones you list, and we can go from there.
I'm not going to even list those.
Okay, just pick. Just okay. You get it. You get it. All right. So I'll start with the shorter things that are also serious. We could kind of fill some gaps, at least in my reading. I think yours too. But okay, so
ready.
Chekhov. I have here Chekhov, the major plays. I was thinking like the seagull. The cherry orchard, something like that.
I'm gonna say nah.
Okay. Washington Irving. Remember a little bit ago, I read and actually enjoyed Sleepy Hollow. Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
I think we do Rip Van Winkle.
Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah.
Nay. Pass.
Yeah. Remember they did the wishbone on Rip Van Winkle. Little dog wishbone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, guy falls asleep, comes back 80 years later. Anyway, it's too late for that. I got the complete works of William Shakespeare here.
All of them?
Thinking,
all of them? Okay.
No, maybe just Henry IV, part one. Just one play. See, it's people's names.
Part one. I'm going to say nay.
Nay? Nay to Shakespeare?
Nay to Shakespeare.
All right.
This is my gut. I'm just going off my gut.
That's fine. That's fine. Okay, now we get to some little bit longer stuff. Dostoevsky, Notes from Underground.
That can continue.
I'll keep it kind of in the mix. Okay. Lord Jim, Joseph Conrad.
I think I have that book.
Yeah.
Lord Jim.
This might be pretty heavy, pretty serious. It's not slim anymore. Medium size. Pretty dense.
All right. You're making it sound like you don't want to do it. Nay. Nay on Lord Jim.
But I like old ships. I like old wooden ships. So I pulled that out of there. Hey. Tom Sawyer.
I was thinking about Mark Twain today for some reason.
Adventure of Tom Sawyer.
I've not read Tom Sawyer.
Huh?
I've not read Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, me neither. Be a good gap.
Yeah, I can continue. Tom Sawyer.
Put it in there?
Yes.
How to trick your friends into painting a fence. All right. So that is, I think, the last of the like the gap books.
Let's just have Tom Sawyer go through. No Notes from the Underground. No.
No Dostoevsky.
Tom Sawyer, go.
Yeah, we need to add another Russian. We're so behind. We're backlogged on Russians now.
That's true.
Tom Sawyer. Okay. And so now I have books that have been recommended to us.
Okay.
I got this book a while ago when Sam Ernst mentioned it. Sounds really cool. The Master of Go by Yasunari Kawabata.
This is about the jog my memory. This is about the game Go.
It's like a Go game, but it's also kind of, I guess, a metaphor for kind of the modernization of Japan, like strategy. It's more exciting than, you know, the modernization.
It does sound interesting. It's not like, yeah. That's not our typical book either.
I know, but and Sam made it sound really good. Like good enough to where I went out and bought it. So it's like, so there's.
Possible. I'm going to say it can go. It can continue.
Yeah. Is that, there is my friend Randy, who I grew up with, really likes The Scorpio Races by Maggie Stiefvater.
She sent us the copies. That can continue on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'd be, I think, pretty quick. She really does like it. It's YA. It comes very highly recommended.
I have enjoyed reading. Our TBR is kind of eclectic right now. I have enjoyed reading different things at one. Like 2 days ago, I read a bunch of Cabinet Curiosities, and then I spent my last hour of the night reading Burr.
Yes.
Two different parts of my brain were being activated. I kind of had to get into the register of Gore Vidal. But I do enjoy that sort of, maybe not always reading the same type of book.
I like it too. Yeah.
Scorpion Races, I would say, definitely is a very high consideration.
Be good to throw in there. Yeah. All right. So that's it for
books that we've
been recommended to us. I'm going to veto this because you're not going to do it. The book I had a whole separate like books you're not going to want to do, but I'm going to sneak off and read on my own.
I didn't know I'm not going to want to read them.
Okay. It's called, have you heard of Stephen or Stefan? Stefan Heim. It's a German guy around World War II. But it's called The King David Report. And it's a retelling of the book of King Solomon from the Bible. I think Samuel, whatever. My dad didn't yell at me. Retelling of King Solomon, who was King David's son, David and Goliath. David from David and Goliath, the Bible. See, this is why I didn't think you'd go for it.
Next.
Anyway, but it's like European World War II era literature.
Can I see the cover?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I see the cover, I'm almost going to pick it.
It's cool looking, isn't it?
Yes.
And you like German authors. And I don't think you're going to have to be too. It's allegory. It's kind of a historical parallel. Right. It has to do with the narrative. Kind of like Burr does a bit, right? There's the official narrative. King Solomon is David's son. And he hires our are the narrator of the King David Report to write a history of King David. And so it's kind of, does he write the truth or like go with the official narrative, right? King David Report. I've been circling it for a while. I want to do it.
I'm gonna have this go continue on.
You're gonna have a go?
Yes.
See, I know it's a German, yeah, it's a European literature. Sweet. All right. I'll breeze through these. I don't think they're gonna happen. I just want to mention it. Money by Martin Amis. And then this one would be if we just want to be delusional with our TBR and just burn it down.
Yeah.
I do want to do this at some point, but it's probably a seasonal.
Oh,
it's a place of greater safety. Hillary Mantle. It is.
Yeah, it looks,
I mean, 800 pages.
That's a pretty big book there, Matt.
But it's, you know, about the French Revolution. It takes place in Danton, Robespierre, and who's the other guy? Third. Most Camille Desmoulins. Anyway, we probably shouldn't do that. But Mantel and Martin Amis.
Pass.
Yeah, probably smart.
I'm going to tell you right now, Matt. Is that the whole list of books?
I got more.
Yeah. Continue. I'm not going to say anything. Continue.
All right. Hey, you noticed this book on my shelf. One of the times you're over here and you're like, what is this? I've never heard of this. And you were kind of intrigued. It is, I think it's from the 1830s. It's like Melville era, but didn't get as famous. It's called Shepherd Lee. Person's name. We'll gap in our reading. Seriously. By Robert Montgomery Bird. It's an interesting, it's a scathingly humorous and utterly original novel out of Andrew Jackson's America. So it's set in the 1820s. The story of an incorrigible loafer who inadvertently discovers the power to project his soul into dying men's bodies and take over their lives. Right?
That's interesting.
So he sets off in pursuit of happiness, only to be thwarted at every turn. In growing desperation, he shifts from body to body, now a rich man, now a poor man, now a madman, now a slave.
David Mitchell.
Right? Yeah, kind of. It's considered a classic. It is the, I have the.
Now you have the New York. That's a very, it's very tempting.
Yeah. This might take a while though. It's 350 pages, dense stuff.
Okay.
Maybe just bring it up to, I remember you being intrigued. Maybe we just keep it in circulation.
Separately.
Just over the next year. Just
yeah.
Maybe.
Never heard of it until, yeah.
We get to it though.
Now I'm not going to tell you anything. I have a book that I really want to do right now.
Okay. Okay. Well, okay. I won't mention this. I mention it all the time. I'm going to have to read it on my own. 20 Days of Turin by Giorgio Di Maria. All the King's Men. Robert Penn Warren. You ever read that?
I've been meaning to read that book for 20 years, probably.
Me too. I bought it 20 years ago.
But... Modern Library, top 100 books, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And then have you heard of The Leopard?
I have. I saw that in your picture, and that's another book I've been meaning to know more about and to read.
I read it 5 years ago or so. It's very good. Very good.
I've already read it.
I don't know how to describe it. It's good.
It's not just about a leopard?
Just no. It's the guy's Nick. It's the 1860s, right before Italy is united. It's an old, what's he like, a don? He's like a aristocrat of his little Italian village. And it's as he's getting older, he's a kind of like looking back on his life. It's very, I don't know how, it's very good. Anyway.
Mm.
Boom.
Interesting.
Those are all the books I found.
Very interesting. Do you know what book I've been kind of researching as you've been talking?
Are you the King David one?
Yes. Is that crazy? Is that just...
I wanted to do a single
thing about this book.
I didn't see it coming, but I've wanted
to read it for a while. Why have you been meaning to read it for a while?
It came up in a separate book that I was reading. by Richard Rohr. And he mentions it. It'd be interesting. It'd be an interesting parallel with Burr, I think, because it's kind of a...
an interesting take, because you are familiar with sort of... I did not grow up with many, you know...
Yeah, the Bible stories. Bible. You know David and Goliath, right?
I do, but if you could tell me, like, what are the next, like, layer to that story, I wouldn't be able
no,
to...
No, no, no. It's Wikipedia. Yeah. I'll reread... No, my dad's going to get on me. I think it's the Book of Samuel, where it's the story of David and Solomon. No, I'll reread. I'll read the whole Bible thing, and then like the Bible chapter, and then read this if we pick it.
Just well, I think you should pick it.
You want to do it?
Yeah.
Hey, it'll be historical. Is it the author's? Did you read his author bio? Because author bio sounds like this is like your guy.
I know. I was kind of.
He's what made you? Is that what made you?
Kind of. Yeah. It sounds like it's not just. It feels like it's an allegory to other things, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not just that. So I don't think. I think you'll be fine. You'll be able.
By the way, I almost just ended the Zoom call on accident, trying to like swap tweets. I need to stop doing that. I was just about ended the call early. No, but I think it's.
He's a refugee from the Nazis in the 30s.
Yeah, he just
served the American Army. Yeah. Wrote a war novel called The Crusaders. And then he moved to Germany during the Korean War. Lived in East Berlin. Yeah. All right. I did not see this coming. I figured we'd do Shepard Lee or Tom Sawyer.
I want to do.
Okay. King David Report.
King David, a book I never even remotely heard of. You know what was interesting? It was the "Don't judge a book by its cover." Don't follow that advice.
Well, it's like
cover, old. And I movie. Said, actually, that looks like a European. I've seen that these editions.
It's Raphael's painting of David and Goliath.
There you go.
Makes sense.
So we're reading a Flashman book, and then a German book.
Well, is it German or American? Could look up whether he wrote it in English, because he's an immigrant. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Interesting. No. But it's interesting matter of classification.
It might be English. I don't see a translator
in English. He lived in America, but could we categorize this as European literature?
Written by one of Germany's most acclaimed dissident authors.
Yeah.
The King David Report is both an analysis of the writer's obligations to truth and an astute satire on the workings of history and politics in a totalitarian state.
Hey, you know what? I'm excited about this.
I got to be quick here because there's only one left in stock. If I'm going to, I hate to do this, but I don't think our independent bookstores are going to carry this book. You've picked a book that is rare. Now I have to think about this. No, we'll do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You'll be able to find it.
Yeah, I'll find it.
Interlibrary loan, buy it. Yeah, okay, yeah.
There we go.
No, this will be cool, because Burr's kind of like that, right? We're getting the narrative American history from Aaron Burr's perspective, and it's just a different twist. It's coming at it from a different angle.
I have a question about this.
Yeah.
About Burr. Are we getting it from Burr's perspective, or are we getting it from Vidal's perspective?
It's Burr. And I think Vidal's having fun with it.
Okay.
I'm making a lot of notes. I don't know if Burr's going to have to be a two-parter for us.
Because I was like, is George Washington this incompetent?
No, I think later in his life, Gore Vidal wrote in the 90s a book, a nonfiction book about Jefferson, Washington, I think Adams. And he was very complimentary about Washington. So I think he's into Aaron Burr's head.
So he's having fun in the character of Aaron
Burr. He's having fun with it. And I think he may, because he mentions how Washington was a bad general, and even the Aaron Burr character concedes he was a good politician. And I think the point is, like, maybe like the war might have been won quicker with a different general, but we may not have had that much staying power without just kind of a competent politician. So I think it's it's from Aaron Burr's perspective. And I do kind of think Vidal thinks, and I wind up kind of agreeing with it, Burr wasn't a traitor or a villain or anything. He was just another, you know, he lost by one vote. And had that one vote gone differently,
the story of, like, he could have been easily president.
Yeah. And, like, and think about how different the official narrative is if that happens. Jefferson's an also ran. He's like, you know what I mean? It's just, and then, so I guess my point is that because the King David report's going to go into this too. The official narrative that you hear versus, you know, what actually happened, or at least another perspective, the perspective of the almost great.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a good, cool. All right.
Aaron Burr got left to a commercial in the 90s.
Yeah. He's the guy who killed Hamilton.
Yeah. Aaron Burr. Remember that?
Aaron Burr.
Yeah. All right, so we've added Flashman at the Charge.
At the Charge, not Flashman's Lady.
Not the Flashman's Lady.
Apologize for any confusion.
I apologize for saying September. This is August. and then we're adding the King David Report by Stephen Hyman. A surprise winner.
Hyman. Not Hyman.
What did I say?
Hyman.
It's getting hot.
Peter's about to have a heat stroke.
Okay.
Cool.
I don't think we've picked two radically different books in the same month. I don't know why we have two books. Why didn't we just do the Flashman? I don't know.
Because it's fun to pick. It's fun to do the
add books.
Just to mention.
People mad at us for taking so long on books? I don't think we have.
Not yet. My dad gets upset about Jaber Crow, but
still reading it. Tell your dad I'm still reading it.
I'm enjoying it.
Enjoying it too.
He's retired and cranky. Okay. So, well, yeah.
Did you have another point of order at the end here, Matt?
I was gonna say, for our patrons, we are next week will be Cabinet of Curiosities, which will be fun. And so I was gonna tell everybody to start thinking about a new category to do.
Okay.
I was thinking you can suggest your own, or, you know, but I was thinking we got a legal thriller still left to do.
I was gonna say legal thriller was the one that popped in my head as like a courtroom.
Yeah, yeah, like a Grisham, Scott Turow type. So that's something we need to get to. I was thinking like adventure, historical adventure type. You know, those, like, have you seen the Arturo Perez Reverte type,
okay,
swashbuckling sword type thing? Yeah, stuff like that. If you have another category, but we do those over there. It's pretty fun. We do something like this. Only patrons have an equal vote, and we all collectively decide what to read.
And there's a fun way of, like, chatting with the patrons and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just kind of an extra layer of communication.
Yeah.
Man, the Cabinet of Curiosities. It's a scary book. I don't know why you're not, like, hyping this up.
It's good. I thought it was more. I like Pendergast. It's more of a. It's interesting.
We can get into it, but.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's not really. Pendergast is, like, not really the main character of the book.
Yeah.
So far,
it's Nora. There's Nora and the Smith back, the journalist, the museum.
Journalist, yeah.
Yeah. But that's a good way to do those kind of omnicompetent characters, like detectives, is to kind of have them. They're more mysterious if you see them through the other character's eyes. Right? But we'll get into that next week.
So that's next week. And then after that, we have. Probably, you know, 8 or 9. We'll kind of decide what we'll kind of focus in on.
Well, I was going to say, we can talk off air. Yeah. I was going to kind of touch base. I'm liking our, I started Dance to Music Time, Question of Upbringing. I really like those books. Just to sink back into them. I forgot that he mentions the painting that is the cover, like, right away. I get it more now because I think I read the first volume like 15 years ago. So it's nice coming back to it.
Yeah.
It's been fun to sink into that. I'm halfway through The Sun. That book is so good.
But man, we are.
Okay. I love that book.
We didn't start The Sun.
Okay.
The Sun. Audio.
I'm listening to it. Will Patton does such a good. He does the Eli chapters. Yeah. Anyway, so we're making progress. We'll be done probably with J. Bird Crow halfway soon. The Nicholas Sparks halfway soon. It's, you know.
We have Master Margarita still there. We have.
I'm not as doing as good with that or Life and Fate.
Once the Future King,
huh?
Once the Future King, I made a promise. I think I broke that promise. I told your brother I'd be done by now.
That's right.
I got done with book one.
You did. We're getting there.
So
we're getting there. We keep setting them up just to knock them down.
Right? Set the pens up, knock them down. So. Matt, it's been fun. I did not have heat stroke tonight up in the old attic. I, you know, hopefully next week I can open these windows up. I'll let the cool summer air cool me down a little bit. So
just get a bunch of industrial spray and just spray the wasps.
I'm not going to do that. Next week we will see you over on our Patreon. But until then, happy reading.